But I'm grateful for the opportunity. I want to go ahead and encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we are on our way to Armenia. And we will get there eventually. We have tickets for the 13th of August. We don't have to buy visas before we go. So we pick those up as we go in. And so that helps. But there's still about 100,000 things that have to happen between now and then. And I was very appreciative, Brother Steve's remembered to pray for us in Sunday school, and I was grateful, brother. If I start on that request list, it will be all day, okay? But I appreciate the prayers, and the Lord will put everything in its place. It's a real blessing to be with you tonight. I just can't say that enough. And one of the problems with traveling is losing the connection to a local church. And although our home church is in Zachary, we have a pretty long relationship with this church as well. So it's a very comfortable place. As soon as we got close, it's okay. Well, let's go up the Life Gate. Because it's kind of a second home for us. And we're glad to be here. Glad to see you. Glad to see some of you growing up. Amen. Just a blessing to be here for a little time before we go to Armenia. In 1 Corinthians, I want to turn your attention to verse number 26. The Bible says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And I'm also going to flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and read one verse there, verse number 7, where the Bible says simply, "But we have this treasure," referring to the gospel, "in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Amen. Father, I do pray that you meet with us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share the word. And Father, I pray for each one of us here that you might open our hearts. That, Lord, we might hear directly from you. That the Holy Spirit would speak clearly and plainly. And Lord, that which you have for us tonight we might receive. Father, I ask you to bless the speaker. Father, bless the hearers. And Lord, may you be pleased by all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, those are some pretty sobering verses, so it's at the surface. So I want to get away from that right away and tell you I'm going to preach tonight about basket cases. Okay? Basket cases. Now, do you know anybody who you would describe as a basket case? Do you know what a basket case is? Now, see, some folks really don't. They use the term. They're not sure where it originated. It's actually a motorcycle term. As a motorcycle enthusiast, what is a basket case? Well, a basket case is a motorcycle that's in parts and pieces. It's scattered in bins and bags and boxes. And somewhere along the line, it was either in an accident, the object of a restoration project of some kind, somebody wanted to rebuild an engine. Something happened to it that ended up in the result of many, many pieces in many, many places. Okay. And not much that looks like a motorcycle. Now basket cases, you immediately realize, can vary in severity. Okay, there are those that, they may have the carburetor and the intakes pulled off, and there's some may be torn all the way to the frame. Some may have been just sitting in a barn for a long, long time. Okay. Now, the key to recognizing a basket case is understanding that in its current condition, it is probably useless. Okay? In fact, it is absolutely useless. And in order to make it useful again, somebody is going to have to make a significant investment. And for that reason, you can usually pick up a basket case pretty cheap. Okay? Now, you understand what a basket case is, right? Right? Everybody got the idea? Got the picture? Okay. You walk into somebody's workshop, pieces everywhere. Okay? Now, do you understand tonight that all of us are natural basket cases. Huh? Say, wait a minute, I've got my act together. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you do, but you know, there was a point in your life when you didn't. And the fact is that each and every one of us are natural basket cases. We're basket cases by nature. Psalm 51:5 says simply, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now you understand tonight that we live in a fallen world. Everybody got that? You know, and something that's interesting to me, the longer I've been a Christian and the longer the world devolves, okay, the further it devolves, the further back I have to go to explain the gospel to someone. And we've reached a point now where you know, I almost have to start with this. Do you know the world is broken? Okay? And you know, and once you get that established, then you can talk about sin and the sin nature. But you start out by saying, listen, this is not what God intended when he made it. What we have is not God's original plan. And it's far from God's original plan. Why? Because it's broken. Why is it broken? It's broken because of sin. It's broken because of the fall. The image of God in us has been corrupted. You know, you think of Adam. What a man Adam must have been. Incredible intellect. Perfect physical health. Complete emotional stability. And a perfect environment. Anybody feeling that tonight? Huh? Yeah. We, on the other hand, have experienced the corrupting influence of sin in every part of our world, and including within us. Our nature, our very flesh, is tainted. We use very little of our intellectual capacity. We lack wisdom to accomplish even the simplest tasks. Cannot tackle substantial calculations. Now, I know some of you guys in here are really smart, okay? You're not as smart as Adam was. Amen. Physically, we're dying from the moment of our birth. Emotionally, we are wrecked and racked by strife and external circumstances. We are certainly basket cases by nature. What else? Well, we're basket cases by choice. Huh? Yeah? You know what most of our life consists of? A continuing series of bad choices. Say, wait a minute, Brother Tom. No. I'll let you think on that. You meditate on that for a while. And then you can explain to me the other thing. That see, the bad choices are a result of the broken nature. See, we're not even capable of making good choices because of the way we are. And what happens is that sinful, that broken nature manifests itself in sinful and selfish choices. And you know, every one of those choices carries with it consequences, both today and over eternity. For example, I realized about age 55 that I begin to feel the consequences of abusing my weight over my knees and my back. Nobody else has had that problem, right? But you ever hear this thing? Well, if I'd known I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself, you know? You know, the ultimate consequence, though, for our choices is eternity separated from God in hell. Sounds like a basket case situation to me. We're basket cases by nature. We're basket cases by our choices. We're basket cases by our environment and circumstances. We live in a culture full of sin. We live in a world that's under the dominion of the devil. You know, we ran RU for a long time at our church, and I love those principles, those 10 principles that they lay out for RU. And one of them is this: those who do not love God will not help you serve God. And folks, do you realize you live in a world that does not love God? So we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We live in a broken and evil world. We are useless to and separated from God. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a little insight into that. Ephesians 4, verses 18 and 19, speaking of the lost man, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Sounds like a basket case to me. You know, I've run into a lot of basket cases in my life, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm the original shade tree mechanic. Okay. I am not a mechanic. I am a parts changer. Right? Something breaks, I pick the cheapest, easiest part to replace, and I do that first. Okay? Then I go to the next one until I get the right one. Amen. Now, by the way, that's not the way real mechanics do it, and if your husband or wife does it like that, then they're also parts changers. They're not mechanics. Okay? Just, oh, by the way. All right? But what happens is, you know, when I come into a basket case and I see pieces and parts scattered everywhere, they scare me to death. Okay? There is no way that I'm going to bring that thing home. Because I know I don't have the wherewithal to put it back together. I'm just not that good. But you understand there are folks who go out and actually look for that situation. They are continuously searching for a basket case. Now, these guys are extremely talented. Our girls will be equal opportunity, okay? Extremely knowledgeable. They're mechanically inclined, and they have the patience and the skill to determine what pieces are there, how they go together, what it's going to take to make the whole thing work again. Okay? I mean, these guys are good enough. They can pull a spark plug and know the condition of the cylinder walls. They can sniff at the oil and tell you how long it's been sitting in there. Okay? They can look at these things, know what's recoverable, and at what cost. And their understanding of the machinery lets them know pretty quickly if a particular basket case is worth the effort to restore. And if it looks right, what do? They load the thing up in a pickup, and they take it home. Do you understand tonight that God seeks out basket cases? Huh? Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Let's see if we can find anything that might describe a basket case here. Not wise, not noble, verse 26. Foolish, verse 27. Weak, verse 27. Base, verse 28. Despised, verse 28. Things that are not. That's a basket case if ever I heard of one. Okay. What it used to be, it ain't no more. Amen. See, God is looking for these kinds of people. And you know what? He doesn't look for the ones that can be saved. He looks for the ones that are most hopeless and most helpless. You know, God looks for the basket cases such that anybody else would look at them and say, that one will never amount to anything. Never be worth anything. I think that's music to God's ears. I believe he says in his heart, you know what? There goes one of mine. God looks for the very worst of us. And he steps up to the devil and he says, you see that one right there, that basket case, that one there with the long hair and the cocaine addiction and the divorces and the tattoos. He said, that one that looks like it could never amount to anything. That one's mine. I've already paid for it. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, motorcycle basket cases are cheap. Human basket cases, not so much. They cost God his only son. And God takes that basket case and loads him up and brings him home. You know, the problem with analogies is that they always break down somewhere along the line. And right here is where this one breaks down. You see, when God buys us, at the very moment of purchase, he puts in us the key to successful restoration. You know, wouldn't it be great if for any motorcycle there was that one part, and if we could just fix that one, then we can make everything work, right? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Okay. But it does for us. Amen. It does when God is rebuilding a basket case. See, humans, in order to be restored, in order to be made whole, they first have to be reborn. Right? And John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born of water, born of the Spirit. And God, in that very moment when we receive Christ by faith, buys us back from the devil, and he revives the spirit in us that was dead in sin. You see, folks, every one of us was a basket case, and every one of us was an impossible task, but for an omnipotent and loving God. And at the point where we receive Christ by faith, God's restoration begins. Romans chapter 8, verses 29. And 30, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, I have loved the Sunday school series talking about fellowship with God. And I feel like that I've kind of added some understanding to my little paradigm, okay, that idea of fellowship. But you know, previously I was stuck with this right here, that God's purpose is to make us like Jesus, and that he will literally move the universe to do it. But it all begins with that first key component. And do you realize tonight that's God's work? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. See, God takes the piece that's missing and he puts it back. And from that point on, what is the master mechanic doing? He is restoring a basket case. Piece by piece, moment by moment. And the thing that fascinates me about that is, I don't know where you went today. I don't know what you did. But can I assure you of something? That everything you encountered in your life today, a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God put it there with the intention of using it to make you like Christ. Anybody get irritated driving today? No, nobody. Only me. Can you praise the Lord for a knothead? You can if you know God's using that knothead to make you like Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, when God said in everything give thanks, he included knotheads. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't look enthusiastic about praising God for knotheads. Huh? How about knuckleheads? Dipsticks? Yeah. I have a whole list. By the way, am I the only person who talks to their GPS? Bless you. You know, my GPS one time took me to the middle of an orange grove in California and said it was a motel. You know. I use Google Maps now. It works better. Of course, now it knows everywhere I go. Yeah. That's scary, by the way. We'll leave that one alone, okay? God is rebuilding a basket case. Why would he do that? Well, I believe that Brother Tim taught us some of that. Because he desires fellowship with his creation. I'm just awed by that right now. I am just awed by that. God saved me and is conforming me to the image of Christ because he loves me and he wants to spend time with me. He wants to have fellowship with me. But you know, there's something else here we need to make sure. When you think about a motorcycle basket case, You know, remember, this guy is a master mechanic, this genius, this mechanical wizard. He gathered up all these pieces, you know, and literally I've seen them in peach baskets. I've seen them in baskets and boxes. And he loaded all that stuff in his truck. He took it home, okay? And after some period of time, probably many times years, weeks, months of patient work. And what went into that garage is a baskets of pieces is rolled out of the garage. And instead of greasy, rusty parts, there is a gleaming, beautiful bike. A classic with new life from a master's hand. There are motorcycles that I drool over. I mean, they keep me away from them because I get them wet. Okay. A Triumph Bonneville. If you've never seen a Triumph Bonneville, that's what motorcycles are, you know. A Norton 750 Commando, the old 754, a Vincent Black Shadow. I mean, but these guys can take a whole box of those things and they can build one, and it is just beautiful, stunning, better than it came out of the factory new. Once forgotten and forsaken and laying around in pieces, they had been rebuilt piece by piece until they were not just useful, but they were beautiful again. They load them up and take them down to the local show. Everybody goes by and they're like me. They start looking and walking and taking pictures and shaking the guy's hand and say, man, that is just beautiful, beautiful work. And you know, in all of that time, and all the times they've been restoring bikes and cars and boats and everything they restore, not a one of them popped up and said, thanks, I did it all myself. All the credit goes to the master. It's funny how it works with us, isn't it? God paid an incredible price. He's lovingly and patiently restored and rebuilt. Folks, there's not a one of you here tonight that's been saved for any length of time. It's not a better human being than you were. You are different. You don't see it as well as others do. But can I assure you tonight, you are not the person that God began with. You're different. You're more like Jesus than you've ever been. Yeah. And you know what we tend to do? We tend to take the credit. Huh? Or get lifted up with pride. Look at me. How good I am. But you know, it's not us, it's the master mechanic. It's the restorer of human lives who gets the glory. Our original text in 1 Corinthians 1 said this in verse 29. It said that no flesh should glory in his presence. Why does God work with basket cases? So he gets the glory. He gets the glory. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I was a helpless and a hopeless basket case. And God saved my soul. And from the day that he saved me, he has been using everything around me to reshape me and remake me into the image of Jesus Christ. And apart from God and his son Jesus, I have no value whatsoever. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Aren't we, by the grace of God, what we are? 1 Corinthians 4:7 says it this way. It says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? See, God finds the basket cases and turns them into something beautiful so that he gets the glory. Now, I'm going to refer you to a place I don't have in my notes here, but just I want to touch base right here one time. Now, I want you to go to Romans. Oh, Tom, got to be careful when you do that. Okay, Romans chapter 12. And I want to turn your attention to verse number 3. The Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Sometimes we have problems with thinking too highly of ourselves. That's a warning. But you know, there's another warning here. He says, you ought to think, but to think soberly. And to think soberly is to realize that it is God's work in me that gives me value. It is God's work in and through me that makes me useful to Him and to others. I am not useless. I am no longer a basket case. I am an instrument in the hand of God. And one that He is not only using, but also making like His Son. So you are not what you used to be. You will not be tomorrow what you are today. Okay? But you will be more like Jesus, and you will be fashioned by the hands of the Master. So don't forget that. When you're giving Him glory, you can give Him glory for what He's done in my life, with yours. Okay? As long as we do that, we're not subject to be proud about it, or not as subject to be proud about it. Yeah. Anybody ever familiar with the name Patsy Claremont? Patsy Claremont. Okay, only old people. Yeah, me and my wife. Old people. We used to listen to the radio program, or radio, Christian radio, a lot, and then this person came up. She wrote a really wonderful book. It's called God Uses Crackpots, and I'm the visual aid. It's a great book if you ever get a chance to read it. But can I tell you that God not only uses crackpots, He prefers crackpots. And there's not a single one of us that's an exception. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:26 has always fascinated me because of the way it's written. The Bible says here, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." Now, how many of us are the exception? See, we all think we're above average drivers. We all think we're the not many. But we're not. We're not. That's not us. We're the other ones. The crackpots, the basket cases that God has done something very, very special in. I would ask you tonight, are you a crackpot? Are you a basket case in need of restoration? You know, one advantage I have as a preacher is I don't know any of you, really. I mean, I know a few of you, I've seen you, but I don't know what God's done in your life, or I haven't heard your testimony, and I can ask this question: are you saved tonight? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Has God taken you and begun the work of restoration in your life? Have you ever trusted Jesus and been born again? A lot of jargon there. I've realized that over time, too. We got a lot of Christian jargon. But the bottom line is, at some point in your life, you have to realize that you are an enemy of God. It's because of who you are and how you are. But God loves you, and He wants to be reconciled to you, and He has made that possible through the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that you receive that payment by faith. Brother Tom, I don't understand. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're here tonight and you don't understand and you're not saved and you know you're not saved, when this service is over, during the invitation time, just step up here and say, "I need to know more about that." And we'd be very, very happy to open a Bible and show you what exactly we're talking about. We'll stay with you until we all understand. Amen. Amen. But maybe you're here and you are one of God's restoration projects. You were a basket case. And God has saved you. And he has been working ever since that time to make you like Jesus. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to use you for the furtherance of his kingdom. And he wants to do it all for his glory. Is he getting the glory in your life tonight? Is he? Well, I hope that he is. But can I say this? If he's not, maybe it's time to just get on your knees before God and give him some glory. Yeah. So whatever your need is tonight, whether it's to be saved, to be restored, or whether you have been restored, and you need to make sure that the glory is going to the right place, whatever the need is, or whatever else God may have spoken to your heart about, I trust you will respond. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had. I thank you for the opportunity to share a little of the Word of God. And Father, I thank you most of all that you are a God who loves us. Father, we marvel at the God who set the stars in place, yet knows every hair on our heads, who loves us enough to give his own Son to pay for our sins, who wants us to come to him in faith, and who is quick to forgive, quick to restore, quick to rebuild. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever the need is in our lives tonight, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign, that, Lord, you'd find us submissive and responsive. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.